I've heard people say, we didn't hug each other. We didn't show each other affection. So those kinds of psychological, emotional, social effects are things that really happen as a result of boarding schools. I know we tend to focus on body counts. That's what everybody is worried about now. Indian children died at boarding schools. They died from diseases. The Spanish flu in 1918 took its toll at Thomas Indian School as it did at other schools. But if we focus on that, we don't focus, we miss the, I think, the larger implications, the longer term implications of the social, psychological, and emotional damage that was done to the Indian children. And when they got out, where did they go? They had no home.
Today, we're joined by Keith Burridge, professor at Canisius College and author of The Thomas Indian School and the, quote, irredeemable, end quote, Children of New York. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
What is your connection to this subject area? Why did you decide to write this book?
It's a really long story. I'm not sure we have enough time for it, but one of the connections I have to Indian schools is that I taught Native American history at Canisius College in Buffalo. I went into administration, and when I got out of administration, I needed a gimmick to interest students because they think they know everything there is to know about American history. And I tried different things, and finally, Native American history really struck a chord. So I started teaching it, and in fact, opened my classes to the community, including a lot of Indians from Buffalo, from the Cattaraugus Reservation, from Tonawanda Reservation. And sooner or later, people suggested, well, why don't you start taking students out for a real Indian experience to different reservations? And I won't go into all of that, but eventually I made an awful lot of friends on places like Rosebud, the Lakota Reservation, Crow in Montana, the Navajo and Hopi reservations in New Mexico and Arizona. In the process, I came across an Indian school on Rosebud, the Bishop Hare School. And my friends had gone there. Some of my Indian friends had gone there, and they had a great experience. And I said, well, that's not what I heard about boarding schools. So I started looking into it, and I did research on it. And I unfortunately never written that up, but I did use it in my book. I came back to Buffalo and was talking to people, and they said, why don't you do something about the Thomas Indian School? I said, what? I never heard of it. And just about that time, there was a reunion, as there is every year, of the survivors of the Thomas Indian School on the Cattaraugus Reservation. And I heard this woman start to talk about her experience at the Thomas Indian School, and it was very moving. There wasn't a dry eye in the crowd, especially when she said, I didn't know how to love. And I said, uh-oh, this is a story. And started doing research with it. One thing led to another until the book, including interviewing her for more of the details. One thing led to another, and I started interviewing people on other reservations. Tom Porter, a Mohawk from your neck of the woods. There were a lot of people that I talked to, interviewed. I looked through all the files in Albany. All of the files for the school from the beginning, 1855 to the end, 1957. And that was the story of the book.
There are many terms for these quote unquote schools, and it's recently in the news because unidentified Indigenous children have been found in Canada. Why did these schools exist? Could you give the listeners who may not know some understanding of what these so-called schools were designed for?
Well, the Canadian situation is really different from America. I mean, they started out in many ways the same way, denominational schools or churches established missions, which established schools to Christianize and educate Indian children. In many cases, to turn them into ministers among their people, teach them English and so on. But it was the Canadian government that allowed churches to create these schools. And especially the Catholic churches, and they allow them to really run themselves without any kind of oversight. And that's where the real problems develop. And those problems came out in something called the Truth and Reconciliation Movement that was started by a guy who actually I brought here to speak in Buffalo in my class, a guy named Basil Johnston, an Ojibwe from up in Georgian Bay. He was taken away from his family and put in school when he was, I'm just guessing now, 5 or 6 years old, and he was raped immediately. And I remember hearing that, and you could have just heard a feather drop in the classroom when he spoke. That was an entirely different situation than in America. The boarding schools in America, well, there may have been a sexual abuse. I'd never really found much evidence of that, but I'm sure it's happened everywhere. So I can't believe that it hasn't happened. If you go something like the Thomas Indian School, the records are pretty clear and complete. And so, you know, everybody who went to them and what happened to them, and many died from diseases and so on. But we do know what happened to them. In Canada, it seems like they did not keep a very clear record of what was going on in the schools. And that's how those children who died were simply buried and never returned to their families for proper burial and so on. It was an entirely different situation in Canada than it is here. Not that the schools necessarily were great here. I'm just saying that the same kinds of abuses didn't take place necessarily in American schools.
You mentioned that you found out about the Thomas Indian School through survivors. What have you been hearing from survivors of the school?
Oh, I go to the reunion. Well, we didn't go have one last year because of the COVID, and we're going to have one again in September. And I've kept in touch with them. I see them every once in a while, but there are fewer and fewer of them now because they're older. I mean, the last ones would have graduated or left the school in 1957. They'd be pretty old by now. They'd be even older than me. So I don't see them as often, and I'm looking forward to the reunion. But I heard good things. Not everybody agreed with everything I said. But basically they were happy that somebody finally told their story. And that's what I did. My book is really a story more than a history monograph, a history textbook. And it tells the stories of the people who went there, what happened to them, and so on, right till the end, including things that happened after they left the school.
What are some of the stories that you highlight in your book? Could you give us a sample?
I think what the book and the my book differs from some of the other books that are written on other Indian boarding schools. And there are a number of books available out there on schools like Chilocco and Carlisle, of course, and so on. What I found was that the school, there were certainly things that were harsh about the school, especially the discipline. But what I really found is that the schools, Thomas and I think the others, really helped to destroy Native families. That was one of the things that I found. They tore the children away from them, or they were separated willingly or forcibly or not. But they were very often separated from their families. They were separated at Thomas, for example. If 5 kids from the same family went to Thomas at the same time, which was not the unusual. They were separated by sex and age and not allowed to talk to one another. The result is that they lost touch with one another. And one guy told me this, and he said that he and I think 6 or 7 of his siblings went to Thomas at the same time. They were all different ages, of course. The girls were separated out. There was a line in the middle of campus. The girls on one side, boys on the other, and you did not cross that line. Don't cross that line. So they were separated. They lost touch with one another, even though they were in the same school and lived in the same dormitory, separated by age and gender. They all left at different times, aged out, graduated, whatever, at different times, went their separate ways. And eventually they found their way back to the reservations, Allegheny Reservation down by Salamanca. And the only thing they had in common, even though they're brothers and sisters and so on, was that alcohol. That was what kept them, that's what brought them together. So it separated them, and I think with disastrous effects. And it was part of what happened to Native peoples here from the very beginning, from 1500. The boarding schools only contributed to that, made it worse. But the destruction of Indian families was what happened to the Indians since 1500, really, when the first Europeans stepped foot on North American shores.